what a disturbing passage we have today. I hesitated whether I should preach on Matthew 15, 21 to 28 or not. The story of the Canaanite woman is one of the most difficult passages to preach. To those who understand that Jesus is love, can we imagine Jesus seemingly insulting the weak and turning away from people crying out for help? According to the story, Jesus seemed tired after arguing against the Pharisees. Since he has a human body, he must have felt tired and desired to sleep. So he probably wanted to have a rest. However, a Canaanite woman kept calling for the tired Jesus and was chasing him. Jesus did not answer her cry, and his disciples urged him to send her away. Rather than helping her, Jesus likened her to a dog and insulted her. Nevertheless, she persisted in asking to heal her daughter, and Jesus commanded her preserving, asking in faith, and finally granted her wish. When I reflected on this story, a question was arising in my head. Why did the author of Matthew write this story? We must understand that the Gospel of Matthew was written for the Matthew's community, that Jews were majority. The Gospel of Mark calls the woman in our reading today a Syrophoenician because that was the language of the day. But in our text, Matthew calls her a Canaanite woman, as if Israel had just entered the promised land, Canaan. That was the world that Matthew's community lived in, and much of the Gospel of Matthew is devoted to comparing Jesus with Moses and offering Jesus as the new Moses. According to the scholarly consensus, Matthew's community was primarily Jewish. It means the community comprised people who formed within a rich set of thoughts in Jewish religious understanding and context. Many people in Matthew's community would have a Jewish understanding of God and God's will for his people, the Jews being the chosen people of God. The Jewish culture clearly influenced them, and perhaps some of them were still trying to know what the gospel was, and some of them might still only understand the gospel of Jesus within their religious common sense. Perhaps the story of the Canaanite woman was for Matthew's community to break their solid religious misunderstanding of the gospel, in which Jews were majority. We read that the woman whose Canaanite story placed her at such a distance from the gospel received what she longed for. her daughter was healed. Jesus called Peter just before this story. The Peter, a Jew and the first disciple, you of little faith. But the Canaanite woman was commanded and proclaimed, "Woman, you have a great faith." Here, the author of the Gospel of Matthew deals with the following concerns for his Matthew community through the story of the Canaanite woman in Matthew 13. They are, who is Jesus' mission and message for? What does the message ask of this Matthew community? The broader question, of course, is how broad is God's mercy? The text culminates in a dramatic encounter between Jesus, his disciples, and a Gentile, the Canaanite woman, which reinforces these questions of Matthew's community. The background to the encounter with the Canaanite woman was insider reflections on the complex relationship between their religious traditions and customs and God's will. Perhaps the author of Matthew's Gospel wanted to tell his community that God's love and grace and healing and salvation included even the Gentiles, whom the Jews generally regarded as dogs. There would have been some other non-Jewish people in his community, and probably there would have been various conflicts and divisions between Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. So he might have wanted to emphasize that God's love and grace are not only for the Jews. He would have wanted to put his community right on that understanding for the unity and reconciliation of Jews and non-Jews within his community. Reconciliation and unity appear in another passage today, Genesis 45, through the story of Joseph and his brothers. The actions of his brothers, who were jealous of Joseph and sold him to the Midianite merchant, would have been harsh for Joseph to forgive. Besides, now he had become the great power of Egypt, and his brothers were weakling who came for food. For perhaps it was an excellent time to get revenge on his brothers. But he forgave his brothers and even cared for them for settling in Egypt. Of course, that forgiveness was not easy. It can be seen that there were rough emotional changes and conflicts in his heart in Genesis 45, 1 and 2. But his decision to forgive his brothers created reconciliation and unity. Of all the great things Joseph did, the greatest was forgiveness for reconciliation. The story of Joseph is the last part of Genesis. Perhaps the author of Genesis emphasized God's forgiveness, reconciliation, and unity to his readers by ending Genesis through the story of Joseph. What do the two texts we read today want to tell us? It is reconciliation and union with all people, including the judged, the unforgiven, and the irreconcilable. Of course, Jesus' actions in the story of the Canaanite woman are too uncomfortable. I still wonder why the author of Matthew's gospel had to be so harsh to express the story. However, we need to focus on what Matthew's author wants to say to his community. It is healing, reconciliation, and union with Gentile Christians who were ignored and Jewish Christians in his community. Through this story, the author of Matthew's gospel makes it clear that the gospel of Jesus is not just for the Jews, but for all people in the world beyond race and culture. We meet various people in our lives. Among them, there will be people who personally or historically hate. We should understand that the gospel, love, and grace of Jesus came to even those people. Let us remember the generosity of Jesus, who commanded us to love even our enemies. May the Spirit of God be with us in our efforts to love, embrace, and reconcile with all people. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we pray for hearts to be open to understanding, empathy, and unity. May we be instruments of your peace, reaching out to the marginalized, the misunderstood, those who need your touch. Let our lives be a living testimony to your grace and compassion. May the efforts for reconciliation and unity take root in our hearts, producing a harvest of righteousness and a deeper relationship with you and your people. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.